Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
Oh, boy. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm still kind of tickled because...
You're just a giggle fest machine.
Yeah. We dive in, we do the intro of the show, and then we alternate doing the intro, and we've been bragging lately about, we've got this down, we used to mess it up all the time, and we never do that anymore.
And lo and behold, I messed it up.
You messed it up, and it was in a very amusing way, and that tickled me.
We broke the streak. We jinxed ourselves.
We did. We got too confident. We paid the price.
That's right. Flew too close to the sun.
I know. We're Icarus.
Yes, exactly. Oh boy. So how you doing, man? You getting ready for Thanksgiving here?
Yeah.
Big Turkey Day.
That's coming up, and we saw each other this week. You had a show on Wednesday.
Yes.
I went to.
You did,
It was sociable, and...
You talked to other people.
I talked to other people. I sat with other people.
Got out the house. How was it?
It was mixed at best.
Okay.
I mean, it was kind of weird.
The outdoors is overrated.
It really is.
Yes.
It really is.
Shut-ins got it right.
It was... Exactly. And we had an awkward thing where I didn't officially say goodbye to you. I walked out after the show. Like, okay, so I was sitting when I got to the comedy show, run by our friend Donna V.
Shout out to Donna V.
Hi, Donna. And I didn't realize when I got there that it was like a reserved thing.
Yeah, that she was telling us to like really promote the reserve a seat.
Right. Which I didn't realize. I just showed up as I want to do a comedy show.
Just play by your own rules, don't you, Trumbull?
I'm a rule breaker. I'm a rebel. That's what I do.
I'm a loner, daddy.
And so I was pretty much right at the front, which is not where I usually sit at comedy shows. You know, one, because I don't want to throw off people who I know and be like right in front of them.
Judging them.
Yeah.
With your steely gaze.
I want to hang out in the dark area in the back with the comics. But
like Batman.
But there wasn't room for me back there. So I was like up front with our friends Brad and Katie from the Decomposition podcast.
Hey, Brad. Hey, Katie.
And that was very nice.
Yeah.
I always feel weird being like right up front at a comedy show, especially when I know everybody on the bill, which I did at this show.
Right.
And so like at the very end when the headliner went up, I was for like half his set. I was like, well, I have to go use the bathroom, but I can't like get up in the middle when I'm right in front of him.
Right.
So like as soon as he is done, I will go off to the men's room. And as soon as I did that, I see you and your lovely wife out there, and you're talking with our friend Natty Bumpercar. Hi, Natty.
Hi, Natty. Wow, we're name dropping all over the place.
I know we are. And then you were like, hey, John. And I was like, I literally have to go into this bathroom right now.
Didn't even make eye contact. Just a beeline for the crapper.
And you were like, we're not waiting for him. And so you just shouted at me through a door.
Yeah.
You're like,
we're leaving. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. And so that's our interaction. Outside
this is why I don't leave the house.
Yeah.
You have awkward moments like that. It's weird.
The indoors is where it's at.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's air conditioning.
Yeah, right?
There's central heating. There's
people deliver food to you. You got the Netflix and the Hulus.
There's DoorDash. There's Netflix. There's Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I hear this Disney Plus thing is pretty good.
I hear it's pretty hopping.
So
so what's the outside world got that the indoors ain't got?
No. What does the outside have that the indoors doesn't have so much better?
Right.
So don't socialize people. It doesn't pay off.
Be a recluse. It's the way to be.
But no, it was a good show. I'm glad I went to it.
Yay. Thank you. You
had a few jokes that I hadn't heard before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd just say my old shit. Which one?
Well, I don't want to give away your material on the air, but the Trojan horse.
Oh, right.
Thing
that
one. That was newish to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to do more and more new stuff because I'm at that point where I know my old stuff works and I like my old stuff, but it's just, it's not. I like it when people respond well to it, but like when I do it.
You get to the point you feel like you're like. I'm a bit of a hack still doing this.
A little bit, yeah. Like, I'm going through the motions, and, like, I don't want to do that. I want this, this art we call comedy to, like, inspire me and still spark joy in me. So, like, I want to write more and more newer stuff, so I'm trying to do
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, So, enough about me and my comedic exploits.
Yeah.
We got an SNL episode to talk
about. We do. We're going to talk about episode 7 from season 45 from November 11th, 2019, with Will Ferrell hosting and King Princess musical guesting.
Ooh.
So, SNL alum.
Yeah.
King Will Ferrell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
great.
not King Princess.
Will
Ferrell. He was on the show for literally 7 years. This was his fifth time hosting.
Does not ring a bell.
No. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Will Ferrell. He's a guy that from the movies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well,
Anchorman. Elf.
I've heard of it.
He did that Sherlock Holmes movie that was supposedly horrible last year.
I didn't see it, but it's... I've heard nothing but terrible things about it.
I hear it's terrible. I still want to see it because...
To see how bad it is?
Partly that, and you know, I'm just like a big
glutton for
Sherlock,
punishment.
Well, I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan, so I'm always curious whenever there's a new Sherlock Holmes thing.
Okay.
So I wanted to see that, and apparently it's just not good. And like they tried to like pawn that off on Netflix, and Netflix was like, no, we're good.
Yeah, Netflix shows anything.
I
know. They wouldn't be like, whoa.
I know.
That is crazy. Even so, if it's so bad that Netflix don't want it, it's
but yeah,
it's gotta
if
be
it's
a big
that
old.
Bad, I kind of want to see it.
Just because you're a glutton for punishment?
Yeah.
Like a self-cutter?
Well, I'm interested in the stuff that's like really, really good and really, really bad. The stuff in the middle, I can take or leave it.
All right.
So,
all right. Well, you watch it and you let me know how it is because I don't...
I will watch it at some point, yes.
Yes, report back to us.
Okay.
Okay. So, this SNL episode. Cold open. We get Trump. and it's... yeah. Alec
we get Trump.
We get Trump. It's Alec Baldwin. He's by a helicopter. He's talking about the impeachment.
Have they done the Trump in front of the helicopter before? Because that felt new.
They haven't done that. I mean, that's kind of a new take.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't done that before because it's something that Trump does so often these days.
Like, he always talks in front of a big helicopter.
He only seems to talk to the press when he's, like, just coming off or about to get on a helicopter.
Yeah, and he's, like, constantly screaming at them to scream over the helicopter.
Yeah.
It's
I guess that's something they do intentionally because it gives them some plausible deniability or something.
Yeah, because like, oh, I can't hear you. What? The helicopters?
Yeah, and that's kind of how they were playing it in this.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought, like, can't they just turn off the helicopter so you can talk? Do they have to have it going just like,
well,
how long
I mean, it's a thing you have to, like... Let me go into my extensive knowledge about helicopters now.
Tell us.
Let's do helicopter talk with Darren and John.
Chopper talk.
Chopper talk. That's a better title. I think you have to, like, warm it up and get the rotors moving at a certain speed so you can have the lift.
It's like a car on a cold afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
All right, I guess that makes sense.
I'm assuming that's how helicopters work.
Okay. And this has been Chopper Talk.
Yeah, this has been Chopper Talk.
So it's Trump talking about the impeachment, and, of course, he has the notes in the big lettering.
Big black magic marker. How do you feel like the Sharpie people feel about that?
I don't know.
That's probably not the type of product placement you want.
I'm surprised the Sharpie people haven't issued a
cease
and desist. Yes, could you please not assist?
Please, we don't want to be associated with you, sir.
It's him talking about, I've told them, like, what do you want? And they say, oh, two large pies with extra cheese, which was kind of a lame joke.
Yeah.
And then... Will Ferrell came out as
Ambassador Sondland, yeah.
Which surprised me because, like, oh, the host is in the cold open?
That's unusual.
Very unusual.
You don't see that much these days.
Yeah, and so when he came out, there seemed to be some confusion, like, over who was supposed to start.
Yeah, they both started talking at the same time shortly after Will Ferrell's entrance, and it was a little weird.
It was, because, like, they were both like, what, are you,
Yeah, and then the camera just cuts to Heidi Gardner, because I guess she had whatever the next line was supposed to be, so it was a little confusion.
A little off, and, then that was kind of it. It was a pretty short cold open.
Pretty short cold open.
It wasn't great.
Not too many memorable lines. The only one I really wrote down was keep the quid pro quo on the down low.
That seems like something he made up on the spot, too. It's like, I don't know, I thought the cold open was pretty weak, and...
It wasn't great.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, like we said before, they have to mention something about what's happening now, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've had the impeachment hearings, we had 2 weeks of testimony from various people, and apparently they've just wrapped that up. I don't think they're going to go back to that after the holidays.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
It's we live in madness.
We do.
All right, so monologue.
monologue.
I
will just say that I love the Will Ferrell's bumper photo with him in the five-timers robe.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They had a little photo of that when they were like, you know, and your host, Will Ferrell. And they showed a little motion.
Oh. I didn't see photo. That.
Yeah.
Because, like, I did notice that they didn't mention the Five Timers Club, and this is its fifth time hosting.
Yeah, I think they don't want to hit that too hard. Because, like, the 10 p.m. rerun, they reran the show from last year with Jonah Hill, where he was inducted into the Five Timers Club, and they had Candace Bergen, Drew Barrymore, and Tina Fey in there, and the slant on that was he's in the Five Timers Club, but all the men have been ejected because they're all problematic for various reasons.
I can see that.
And so... I was like, oh, wow, this is weird. This is, like, literally from last year. We've done a show on this.
We did.
And
yeah.
Yeah, so I...
Go check in the archives, people.
Exactly, exactly. That was episode... that was, like, our fourth or fifth episode, I think. I tweeted about it last night.
We're, like, a few months into it.
We were literally, like, a month into the show.
Yeah, not like the seasoned vets where we are now.
Where we never screw up the intro.
Nope.
But, yeah, so we have Will Ferrell's monologue. He comes out, he's in a hot pink shirt.
He had a good suit on. I looked
very fashionable.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'd like to wear that.
And and he was like, hey, I'm back. I was a cast member for 7 years. I'm excited to be back. And
yeah.
And then he immediately notices. He was like, excuse me, sir. And you look like Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And then the camera cuts, and it is Ryan Reynolds sitting there in the audience.
Celebrity
like,
cameo.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I came to see you. I'm a big fan. And Will Ferrell gets very flustered.
Yeah.
He's very thrown off by Ryan Reynolds being there.
As anybody would. He's a handsome man.
Sure.
And he just can't stop talking. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're here. And, like, he gets very flustered, and he flubs his lines a lot.
Right.
It's good to be here in New York.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Look, New York. You're like, what? Oh my God! Why would I say New York? You got milk much? Like he just gets very flustered and flummoxed.
And he's even more thrown off when Ryan Reynolds says like, "Oh yeah, my wife and I were both big fans." And he's like, "Oh, you mean Blake Lively's watching this at home?" And
yeah.
Oh.
And then he giggles.
And and he was like, you know, this monologue is terrible, but you know what's not terrible? Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then he goes into a Tracy Morgan impression for no real reason.
Like Ryan Reynolds.
And then Tracy Morgan comes out and...
Yeah, and we get another... Yes, Tracy Morgan comes out saying, you know, the prophecy has been fulfilled. Like, I suck from Will Ferrell's comedy bosom. You know.
Which is just... I mean, Tracy Morgan, he's got such a wonderfully distinctive delivery.
Yeah.
He makes almost anything funny.
He does. Like, just, a lot of people can do a Tracy Morgan impression. I think, like, Alec Baldwin's done it.
He did him on 30 Rock, yeah.
Yeah, I think Eddie Murphy did an impression of him in, like, Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, really?
Like
I don't think I've seen that. Yeah. That's
like,
funny.
Yeah, it's just...
I'll have to look that up.
People love talking like Tracy Morgan.
It's fun to talk like Tracy Morgan, Darren.
Yeah. It's fun to talk like... Is it funner... To talk like him or Adam Sandler?
I don't know. Tracy Morgan's pretty fun, man.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan's pretty fun. I mean, Sandler's really easy to do.
Yeah, Abby Doobie.
Because you just have to babble. I mean, nonsensical words. Abby Doobie. Why are you doing all the nonsensical words? I have to do the nonsensical words, Adam Sandler.
Nonsense is how I talk.
So
fun with words.
Yes.
It was a cold open.
It was fun. I enjoyed Tracy Morgan threatening Will Ferrell if he ever imitates him again. And
if you ever make fun of me again, I'll punch you in the face.
And he's like, That's fair.
Yeah.
I thought this was good. I enjoyed this monologue. I thought it was pretty strong. It was funny. It was
I
mean they had a clear cut thing they were doing. They weren't trying to do like a half dozen different things.
Right, yeah.
So
I dig it, yeah. It's nice little...
I dug it. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. And next up, we have a commercial, Heinz Relax.
Yes, this was a family at Thanksgiving dinner, and Will Ferrell, he starts using ketchup as you do at Thanksgiving dinner.
People were saying this. Where do you use ketchup on Thanksgiving?
I hadn't really thought of that, but yes, this sketch has a conceptual hole at the center of it.
I mean, maybe if somebody has like roasted potatoes, maybe you...
Ketchup on...
You don't use ketchup
on roasted potatoes?
Yeah, you don't use like those little chopped up quartered potatoes, like potatoes that have been roasted. You don't use ketchup on potatoes?
I don't use...
Am I the weirdo here?
It's not something I would personally do. I mean, if you want to do it, that's fine. You live your life.
All right, like the home fries or the, you know, or whatever.
Home fries I could do. I don't put ketchup on a whole lot except like say a burger or fries these days. That's me.
Interesting.
And even then I kind of prefer mustard.
On a burger?
On a burger and on fries. Yeah. All it's got a little kick to it.
All right. I mean, I could see that. I mean, I like a little mayonnaise too. That's good.
Mayonnaise I don't do a whole lot of. Like, unless I'm making tuna fish, I don't have a whole lot of call for the mayonnaise.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I thought that was, like, the food of white people. Like, you, that was, like, your thing.
I'm white enough. I don't really need any extra help at it. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
We're
breaking down stereotypes.
But this has been Condiment Talk with Darren and John.
Yes. the spinoff of Chopper Talk.
Exactly. Because, you know, you want to have your condiments when you're on a helicopter.
Yeah, of course. They go hand in hand.
But in this sketch, Will Ferrell, he has that problem that you have with the plastic bottles where the air escapes and it makes a sound. It sounds like a fart.
A flatulence.
Yes, a flatulence. Yeah. And but they not with new Heinz Relax, where it lets out a relaxing sigh when you squeeze it. And the sigh just sounds very sexual.
Yeah, it sounds orgasmic.
Yeah, it's like, basically like moaning.
Yeah, like,
Yeah.
And people are like, what is that?
What is that? Oh. And I can't help but wonder, like, what was that like? Like, who did they grab to record those sounds?
Yeah.
And how do you approach that? Hey, so-and-so, can you just come into the sound booth and fake an orgasm real fast?
hey, can you get this call from Human Resources for asking me that question now?
It's for a sketch, I swear.
I swear.
I swear. I can show you the script. We don't want to just get you on tape making fake orgasm sounds.
Yeah, this will not go to my private file. This is going to be on TV, I swear.
No, the sketch will not get cut, okay? No, I have it in writing from Lauren.
Okay, I swear.
I swear. Put away those handcuffs.
Officer, I swear. It was for a sketch. Your Honor, I swear. It's for a sketch.
It's for a sketch.
Oh, no.
It's not for my own twisted personal needs. This was funny. This was I enjoyed this. It was a cute idea.
Short.
It was funny. It was short.
And of course, showed like Kyle Mooney as a teenage son taking the bottle to like his bedroom.
Yeah, and they were like, "Why are you taking it?" Oh, he just loves ketchup. and in the end, they were like, "You must be 18 or older to buy."
Yeah,
I enjoyed this. This is funny.
Yeah, that was a cute sketch. Mm-hmm. That was right. And next sketch is the big one. This I feel like this should have been the cold open, but for some reason it wasn't. Democratic debate.
2020 Democratic debate from MSNBC with Melissa Villaseñor playing Rachel Maddow.
We have a cornucopia of celebrity camos. Like, some would say too many.
Yeah, we could say that. So let's run through them. We had Kate McKinnon as Elizabeth Warren, who's I'm enjoying seeing where Kate's Elizabeth Warren is going, where she's just like, ooh, teacher, call on me. It's very Horshack from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, wow. That's
I know, cutting edge.
Cutting
edge current references.
We stay current here.
And she was like, you know.
Horshack.
She has mom hosting Thanksgiving energy, where she's just very eager to please.
Yes, very much so.
We had Maya Rudolph coming back as Kamala Harris. And her thing was, mama needs a gift. She needs to go viral. So she's just doing all these memes.
Like, I'm going to tell my kids this was Michelle Obama,
right?
Which is like the new gift that's going on now around these days.
Yeah, I had to Google that this week because I was like, okay, where did that originate? I've seen this a lot. I need to figure this out.
I don't think no one knows where these things originate from. They just happen.
There are some sites that track it. There's a site called like Know Your Meme.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're ever curious about like, well, how did this get started? And they do their best to document and track that.
Yeah, like that thing with the woman screaming at the cat thing. It's like
that's weird to me. I'm a little sick of that one.
Is that like a Russian thing? I don't know.
It's probably somehow where the Russians are profiling us and getting all our information and stuff.
Probably. I'm sure this will all end up just fine. Nothing bad's gonna happen.
Someone tried to hack into my Instagram account.
What?
This week. Yeah.
I got
an alert on my phone saying like, oh, someone from Washington State tried to hack into your Instagram. And I'm like, I'm on Instagram. I've literally never posted on Instagram.
I think that's what happens though. Like if you don't post enough, people will think like
it's inactive.
Yeah, or dormant or something. So then that's when they strike.
Yeah, and I just got an alert. I have enough good security on my phone or whatever. I was just like, nope, that wasn't me. Oh. I changed my password and
wowee.
That was the end of it. So
oh man, Oof. That sounded harrowing.
I know. It's okay. I'm getting through it. I'm getting through it.
Okay. Day by day.
Yep. Next, we had Colin Jost as Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
I still have trouble with his name.
Yeah,
but he's apparently the number one guy polling in Iowa.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So let's see. We had
Larry David.
Larry David is Bernie Sanders
back again,
talking about he had the heart attack, and he says, "I was the first heart attack victim to take a city bus to the hospital."
that was a funny line.
That was a good line playing off Bernie's persona.
Yeah. Rachel Dratch
is Amy Klobuchar.
Harrelson is Biden.
Harrelson coming back as Biden for I think the third time.
Well, yeah.
And he said, "I'm always one second away from accidentally calling Cory Booker Barack."
Yeah. Oh, and he had that one line I liked. He said, "Are people always afraid I'm going to say something off color or even worse, on color?" I was like, "Oh, okay, that was a good one." Then Will Ferrell was on as Tom Steyer.
Yes. Yeah.
Who, I'm not too familiar with. I was like, "Who's
Tom?" He's an obscure candidate. He had an ad that ran, I think, during the show last night, and I was like, "I still barely know who you are."
Yeah.
We also have Bowen Yang as Andrew Yang.
Yeah, of course.
He said hi to my Yang gang. Who I assume are related to the Melissa Monsters in some fashion.
Of course.
We got the Yang gang. We got the Melissa Monsters.
Melissa Monsters.
What's Melissa Villaseñor's super fans.
I didn't. They're called Melissa Monsters?
When she came on Weekend Update as Lady Gaga, she was like, "Hi to my Melissa Monsters."
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because she was making a joke out of, like, she had these hardcore fans, but
I'm surprised.
I just kind of like that name, so.
Oh, I'm surprised that her fans are called, like, the Via Senors and Senoritas.
Well, let's not confuse the issue.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's Melissa Monsters. We have a brand name.
All right. I'm just trying to think outside the box. I'm trying to help her. So, and we're still not done with all the people in the sketch, because then we have Fred Armisen come out as Michael Bloomberg.
Right, another SNL alum, Fred Armisen as Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, like that's when he was like, you know, hinting like, "Oh, I don't know if I'll join in the Democratic race or not." But,
and apparently, as of today, on Sunday, he's officially announced. And why?
I don't.
Why? Do we need this? Do we need another Democratic
candidate?
We
really don't.
We do not. And we don't need...
We have so
Bloomberg.
Many. We have so many people.
No.
And then Cecily Strong came in as Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes, and she was wearing a white suit, and she was like, "I'm this debate's designated villain." The one line of hers I really liked. She said, "I have no interest in those Dalmatian puppies."
Yes, that was good.
Being a Cruella de Vil.
And she said, "Oh, she was wearing all white." She was like, "Yeah. I'm in the garb of your fallen hero, Hillary Clinton."
Yes,
I like that.
Cecily's good at playing like the really evil.
Yeah, no, she's good.
Women, she's good at leaning into that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the sketch.
It was 12 minutes long though, which is
pretty long. I mean, it's one of those sketches you literally have so many characters to go through and introduce, and everybody's got to have a line. So,
right.
I mean, I haven't counted it up, but I mean, we got Maddow, we got Warren, we got Kamala Harris, we got Mayor Pete, we got Bernie Sanders. We got Klobuchar, we got Biden, we got Yang, we got Tom Steyer, whoever he is.
Yeah.
We got Bloomberg, we got Tulsi Gabbard, and that's like about a dozen people right there.
Yeah. Oh, and Booker, Cory Booker. Chris Redd.
Oh, we had
Cory Booker. Redd was
I forgot to even write down Chris Redd as Cory Booker, but yes, he was in there.
That is a lot of people.
They got to narrow the field down at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good sketch, but it was... This is way too long.
If for no other reason to make it easier for the SNL writers, we need to lose some Democratic candidates.
Exactly. Candidates, think of the writers of SNL.
I mean, and Lorne has to pay all these ringers that he calls in.
Yeah.
And he has to be like, "Hey, you know, do you want to come in? Are you in town? Can you do this? Will you do this?"
Dratch ain't cheap.
We promise you that you're not going to have to play the president for 4 years like Alec Baldwin.
It's like, can you really make that promise?
In his Faustian bargain.
Faustian bargain.
Yeah.
I like it. But yeah, I mean, I would have preferred them not do the cold open they had and just made this the cold open.
I think they probably didn't just because of length. Because it would have, you know, it was like a 12-minute sketch.
I don't know. Hey. I would have they made the sketch shorter or just not done cold open, use this as a cold open, and then you would have had a little bit more time.
It was definitely stronger than the cold open, so I see what you're saying there.
Definitely stronger.
This was good. It had some good lines in it. It's, you always have a lot of fodder when it's the Democratic debate. I recorded the Democratic debate because it was Wednesday on the comedy show that we were talking about, and I recorded. I still haven't watched the damn thing.
Bad American.
Because I do generally feel bad about that, but it's like 2 hours. Do I want to sit down and watch the 2 hours? It's one thing to watch it live, but when it's like, okay, I know this thing, and you've already, at this point, I've seen some highlights and things like that. So you can catch
the greatest hits on like.
I know, but I feel bad about that.
No, I hear what you're saying.
I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to make me feel guilty, but.
I feel guilt and shame wherever I go.
No, those are my default settings.
It's a good sketch. I just wish it was a little bit shorter and punchier. But
I see what you're saying. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was fun. And it's fun to see all those people paraded out, even though you kind of wish they gave the cast members more to do on it and just had like one or two ringers instead of half a dozen.
I'll say that. It was too many ringers. It was like...
I wish the show used the surprise cameos more sparingly because they're not really surprises anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like... Oh, who's going to do this? And I think it's just because they've had so much success with Alec Baldwin as Trump and Tina Fey what's her name?
Palin.
Palin, thank you.
Yeah.
So fried.
Sean Spicer was Melissa McCarthy.
Right, and Matt Damon as Kavanaugh. And there have been so many in the last
few
years.
Ben Stiller as Cohen.
Yeah.
And Mueller, De Niro.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe it's just because it is something that, like, you know, more people have their eyes on when they hear a celebrity. So, like,
there's an expectation for it at this point. But it's like, isn't this why you have a regular cast?
Yeah, the cast should be the cast.
Because they're supposed to be, like, versatile and be able to do the various things you throw at them unexpectedly. Yeah, so,
but I guess, like, you know, if celebrity cameos trend better or...
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot more press. So I see where the show is coming from. I just wish they didn't lean on it quite as much.
No, agreed. Next sketch, First Thanksgiving.
Yes, this is going back to the 1600s. We had Beck Bennett as John Smith and Melissa as Pocahontas.
Right.
And he's having dinner with Pocahontas' family.
Right. Which is Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph
as their parents and Will Ferrell as her grandfather.
Right.
And it's sort of like an awkward Thanksgiving where it's like you're bringing your college boyfriend home for the first time,
right?
And
like Will Ferrell's the grandfather who's disapproving. He, like, as John Smith leaves to use the bathroom, he says all these things about like I can't believe you brought this pale face in our home,
right?
And
you shouldn't call him a pale face.
Like they prefer the term white American.
Yeah,
and he says things like, you know, they're here to steal our jobs and our land.
Right. This is why we need to build a wall to keep those people out.
Exactly. And then he said, where'd you hear these things, Grandpa? It's like, from Fox.
Yeah.
And they said,
and it's a literal fox.
Yeah. It's like, you gotta stop talking to that crazy fox.
Yeah, well, he makes more sense than that lying peacock you talk to.
I was like, I see what you did there.
Which I liked. That was very clever.
Yeah.
I also like they had a line towards the beginning. And they were like, okay, so John Smith, like you're just about to turn 30, right?
Right.
And he's like, yes, that's true. And you know Pocahontas is 12, right?
Yeah, I like that too, because like people have this idealized, romanticized version of the John Smith Pocahontas.
Especially since the Disney movie.
Yeah, and like people forget, no, Pocahontas was super young.
Right. And I don't think there's any historical evidence that they were romantically involved at all. It was
they were
people who knew each other. And Pocahontas married some European dude years down the line.
Yeah, I looked it up. Like, Pocahontas, like, on Wikipedia, he married some other dude when she was, like, 17.
Uh-huh.
I think she died when she was, like, 21 or something.
It was the 1600s, you know.
Yeah.
21 was a full life.
You were
collecting Social Security by 21.
Yeah, you were on AARP by that time.
Exactly.
You did all the living you were going to do.
You were doing, like, the Wilford Brimley commercials.
Exactly.
I think Pocahontas did some of the Wilford Brimley commercials talking about the diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then John Smith comes back, you know, he leaves and comes back.
He keeps going to the bathroom, not to the bathroom, but he keeps excusing himself from the table.
The hole in the ground or wherever it
did
go.
Yeah, and Will Ferrell's like, his hands aren't wet. He didn't wash his hands.
They're bone dry.
and then towards the end, they get to talking, they bond about how they're finding corn kernels in their stool.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, I think it's because, like, you can't digest the... the outside of it or something.
Right. And then Will Ferrell's like, hey, I guess we're not so much, we're not so different after all.
Right. And then Will Ferrell addresses the audience directly.
Yeah, he breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah. We may all have our differences, but we all have one thing in common. We all can't digest corn.
Right. And then, I like the stuff he said before. He's like, you know, there have been a lot of crazy. There have been a lot of problems in this crazy, crazy sketch of ours.
Right.
I mean, like white actors playing Native Americans. I mean, what is this? 2014.
That was a great line.
That was a great line.
Love that line. That was great.
Yeah. So it was basically him saying, yeah, we're all divided, but we can all bond over the fact that none of us can digest corn.
Yeah.
And we all have corn in our stool. Happy Thanksgiving.
Which I enjoyed it because it was just such a weird, bizarre turn.
Yeah.
I like that they called themselves out for having...
Yeah, I feel like they said that because they kind of knew that, like, maybe some blogger was going to blog about it. Yeah. Like, oh, how dare they have white people?
Why this sketch was problematic, blah, exactly. blah, blah, blah.
But then they called themselves out on it before
the
bloggers could strike.
Yeah, and I think on a show like SNL, yeah... I think it's almost unavoidable that you have that to some degree.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, I like this sketch quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this might have been sketch of the night. This was definitely a candidate of sketch of the night
for me. I'll co-sign on that.
I really like this because I always love it when a sketch goes in directions I'm not expecting. And it was funny throughout, so thumbs up.
Yeah, kind of reminded me of like, the old sketches from like the Will Ferrell days. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, something about it, like. Kind of smiley.
I think you could definitely feel Will Ferrell's hand in the writing of this week. I mean, I think a lot of things were tailored to his sensibility. I didn't look at the names of the writers for this week at the end, but it wouldn't surprise me if Will had brought in like a couple writers
that he
knew from his day.
It definitely maybe felt a little Adam McKay or, I don't know, something about it reminded me of the old days.
Yeah,
I felt that
sensibility.
Yeah. So next up, we have a pre-tape, House Party.
Yeah, this is on YouTube as Party Song. We had Sicily and Mikey Day as kids throwing a party when their parents are out of town, and Will Ferrell as their AP English teacher crashes the party.
Yeah, and they do, it's like a music video where they sing to the camera, oh, we're about to get turned, we're about to get lit. And our teacher's here. What's he doing here? That's weird.
Right.
And, like, he's the teacher. I mean, he's not there in a creepy way, creeping on students, but he's, like, kind of... The song is basically, like, how he's out of place. And
it becomes gradually more disturbing, and we find out that,
He's going through something.
He's going through some stuff.
Yeah, he kind of just goes to the bathroom and stares in the mirror for too long.
And, like, everybody else leaves the party, and they find him sitting alone in the kitchen.
Yeah. It's, like, 3 a.m., and...
Yeah.
He's like, you cherish these moments when you're young. This is the time to live right now. It's like, yeah, all right. Do you want to leave?
Yeah.
And it gets...
And eventually, like, his wife comes to pick him up.
Yeah, with Heidi Gardner. It's like, it is 3 a.m. What are you doing here? I like this sketch, too.
I enjoyed this. This was fun. It was fun to see, like... It reminded me a little of Will Ferrell in Old School, like, as Frank the Tank.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the heady days of 2003.
The early aughts.
Yeah.
Oh, were we ever so young?
You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy.
I like that movie.
Close my eyes.
Only for a moment, and the moment's gone. Funny movie. Probably Will Ferrell's breakout role in the
movie. Maybe
movies.
We'll talk about that movie.
We should. Hmm. We should. I would...
I'd love talking about Old School.
I own Old School. It's easy for me to pop that in any time. I enjoyed that. That was a good movie. I like this sketch. Another thing I got a kick out of was they were talking about at one point, like Will Ferrell, he's like looking at the family photos or something.
Yeah.
And I noticed they had the picture of Cecily Strong, and it was the same picture that they used on the "Do It on My Twin Bed" music video,
shit.
Where they all showed everybody's awkward adolescent photos. And I was like, that's the same photo of Cecily.
Whoa!
And I was like, that's cool. That's a neat little...
I totally didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't know why I recognized that, but I was just like, that is totally the same photo.
I got to go back and look at that. Wow.
Yeah.
Good eyes, sir.
Check it out. See it again for the first time.
Ooh, through new eyes.
Yes.
All right, so next up, we got the Bertucci sketch.
Yeah, the pizza ad with the Richards family. They're shooting a commercial for... Bertucci's Pizza, which is, I guess, a local pizza place.
It is. Actually, I know about this place. It's like...
is it a real place?
It is a real place.
Oh, holy cow.
It's like an Italian restaurant, but it's mostly in like the New England area. I mean, I just noticed because my wife went to college in Massachusetts, and there's a bunch of them up in New England.
Oh,
wow. And the food's actually pretty good.
Okay, so thumbs up on the pizza.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of them in Jersey, but not too many. But they're mostly like a New England thing.
Oh, I hadn't heard of it. I was just assuming it was something made up. But Nuh-uh. That's neat to know that it's a real...
It's a real establishment.
Wow.
Tell them SNL sent you.
Okay, wow. I wonder if they have like a social media presence. I wonder if they're...
Maybe.
...reacting to that.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
You know, like the...
Like the Sara Lee people?
Yeah, like the Sara Lee people or...
Top toxic in the community?
Yeah, is Bertucci's Pizza trying to get rid of the toxic in the community right now? I don't know.
Yeah, why do people?
I'm really curious in their reaction on this now.
Bertucci's, get at us.
Yes, tweet at us.
Yeah.
So we had Will is the dad, Kate McKinnon is the mom. We had
Heidi and Kyle
as the kids.
As
yeah.
kids, and Mikey Day was the director of the commercial, saying, "All right, we're gonna direct this commercial with you guys." And then I think before they started, the mom, Kate McKinnon, was like, "Oh, I can't wait to direct this. We're going, you know." And then she kind of goes, "It's like, oh, we should, you know, I should say something like, oh, I'm horny for this pizza."
Right.
And then the kids are like, "Mom, don't say that. That's weird. That's dumb." And like, she was so offended that they kind of shut her down.
Yeah.
That as they were filming, she shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, like.
She's depressed that she can't talk about the pizza making her horny. And then she does. That kind of mom thing is like, no, you go on, you have fun.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of being a martyr about it.
Yeah, it's like, no, I don't want any pizza. Just give me the just give me the crust from the trash.
Right.
Whatever the raccoons don't want.
And then I think she goes out to wait in the car while the rest of the family shoots the ad.
Right.
And then Will Ferrell immediately has no idea what to do once his wife has left.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to have spontaneous conversations with the kids, and he's like, "So, honey, how's your period?"
I loved that laugh. I was like, "Oh my god!"
And son, fight me.
And then the father, like, "I'm sorry. I can't do anything with your mom. Yeah. You know, by my side."
Yeah.
Like,
last week, I put bleach on my cereal. Not a suicide attempt. I just thought that was milk.
I hired a prostitute to show me how the oven works.
Yeah. I enjoyed how off track everything went, and I have in my notes, like, it's not really about pizza anymore. That was, like, I think their commercial slogan.
Oh, right, yeah.
I enjoyed this. I thought it was well written.
I thought it was a cool sketch, too.
Very funny.
Yeah, yeah. It stayed on brand, and yeah. I got a kick out. Again, this sketch kind of had that, maybe this, it seems like Will Ferrell brought in a lot of people from his days, because this had that old school feel to it as well.
I feel like, I mean, the last few things, like, the show's really into a groove at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm feeling good about the show. The cold open was weak, but ever since then, I've liked pretty much everything.
No,
So next we had our musical guest, King Princess.
Right.
Her first song was called 1950. She had the fog machine going. Right. What did you think of this?
I thought it was okay. Like, it was. I'm trying to think of, like, who kind of reminded me of, like, maybe like St. Vincent a little bit, but not
okay.
Like, but more poppier.
I can see that.
But yeah, I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't write down anything.
I didn't write down much for this. It was kind of a ballady. I'm not too nuts about them doing like the slow songs in the first musical slot.
Yeah.
In the first slot, I kind of wanted something that. You know, want gets, something to get you pumped. I want something peppy. I want something.
Yeah, raise the roof.
Yeah, I want him to blow the roof off the joint.
Yeah, I want to kick this mother out.
Yeah, and I thought the first song was just kind of eh.
Yeah.
I
think we said the same thing, like, when Taylor Swift was the musical guest. And,
yeah.
Like, both her songs were like slow ballads.
Yeah, it just kind of. I don't begrudge them doing a ballad, but I feel like if you do it for your first number, it kind of brings the energy of the show down.
Yeah, like, in the beginning, you want to, you know, pep it up.
Yeah.
And at the end, you want to cool it down.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey. It's like John Cusack making a mixtape in high fidelity.
There are
a lot of rules.
Another fantastic movie.
There are a lot of rules.
There really are, people.
Yeah.
Follow the rules or else we have anarchy. That's what we're trying to say.
I mean, just listen to Rob Gordon in High Fidelity as a guide to how to live your life. Because, I mean, that guy, he's got it all together. He doesn't make a wrong step once in that movie.
Nope. He's got it all figured out.
Got it all figured out.
Oh, man. I got to watch High Fidelity again. That was a really good movie.
Great movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
The book's good, too. I used to reread the book about once a year.
I got
to
read the book, too.
The book's good.
I don't think I've ever read the book.
The book is very close to the movie, except the main difference is it takes place in England.
Oh.
Instead of Chicago.
Mm, okay.
So.
I'll allow it.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So next up, Weekend Update.
Well, do we want to talk about the second musical segment with King Princess?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. Second song was Hit the Back.
Hit the Back. I thought this was better, but I still thought it was just okay. I think they should have reversed the two numbers.
Yeah, she was like more dancey in it, and she was like kind of dancing all over the stage and like shimmying and
I kind of wish she'd drawn a picture like Halsey.
Okay, you know? I could see that.
Draw a picture on the stage.
Yeah, just throw her some chalk and a chalkboard.
Exactly.
Get creative with it.
Do something.
Give her some water paints.
Yeah.
But
she was fine. Not too much else to say about her, but...
Yeah, I literally didn't have any notes. I thought I was like, all right, this is okay.
Okay, so next we had Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che. Che boogie. Roll call.
Oh, I see what you did there. My name is Che.
I do the news.
So check me out.
I don't do hack, so check me out.
Just check me out. All right, so Che and Jost... Telling the jokes.
Talking about the impeachment hearings, and they wrapped up the testimony this week. Apparently, have they definitely said that they're done with all the testimony?
I don't even know anymore.
I don't know. This is another place where I'm like a bad American. I didn't watch or listen to all of the testimony because like there were a few days I was just like I don't think I can do it today.
You're part of the problem.
I am.
This is not how democracy works.
Well, no, I do the investigation. I try to find out, like, okay, well, what came out today? And, you know, what are the big bits I need to know? And why is everybody talking about why this person rocks on Twitter?
Tulsi Gabbard or the new guy, Desmond Tutu? No.
Fiona Hill? Is that her name?
No, somebody with a Hill. D. Des Daz?
Yeah. It's tough to remember the names because they weren't really prominent in the public eye before that. But, But Colin made some jokes about Devin Nunes.
Colin jokes.
And and he compared him to SpongeBob SquarePants for some reason.
Yes, he did do that.
Which seemed weird and kind of... I didn't like it.
It was kind of weak. I mean, a lot of the jokes that they had on Weekend weren't the best. I didn't write that in anything because none of the jokes really grabbed me.
I have a line from something that Michael Che said. He was... talking about, I think, being nervous. He says, like, every time a cop stops me and asks my name, I get so nervous I can barely say Kenan Thompson.
Oh, you know, I did like that joke. I should have written that down.
That was a good joke.
Yeah.
I think he was talking about how one of the witnesses didn't get flustered. I didn't get to rewatch Weekend Update, so my notes are a little scattered. Oof. I apologize for that.
Oh, boy. Unprofessional.
Yeah.
But, they had the jokes. And then, of course, we brought in Alex Moffat, guy who just bought a boat.
Doing his Thanksgiving dating tips.
Yeah, and of course, him saying a lot of inappropriate gross things about ladies.
Lots of sex puns. Oof. If you come to SNL for the sex puns, this is your jam.
That's right.
And then he's... this is a tough character because, I mean, it's... he's trying to be douchey, but... Honestly, I think it's kind of tough to be like really super douchey when you're sitting next to Colin Jost.
Oh, wow! Nope.
It's a high bar to clear.
Wow, you really just like taking shots at Jost here.
I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
We're never gonna get him on the podcast now. Holy hell!
It'd be an interesting episode, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. I want to see you. I want to see you make jokes at him to his face. That would be fantastic.
I would totally wuss out and back down and be like, so what's it like doing Weekend Update?
Like, I really enjoy you do some really hard inning jokes. Yeah. Really,
I don't think I would get to the point of like lying to his face, but
you'd go easy.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you.
I don't have that killer instinct.
Yeah, you want to get to that SNL after party?
Exactly. Exactly. But then he brings in Ryan Reynolds as the guy who bought a boat's friend. He's the guy who knows the owner, and Ryan Reynolds is playing like a douchey guy.
Yeah. Mac and cheese leads to rack and squeeze.
Yeah. Again, lots of sex puns.
Yeah, and he's saying, "Oh, you should use real cranberry. Bust out the real cranberry and shill ocean spray." I felt gross saying that. I just want to get that on the record.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I felt creepy listening to it.
Yeah, Mom, I hope you don't listen to this episode. That was.
Does your mom listen to the podcast?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't think mine does either.
My sister does. Melanie, don't play this for Mom.
Okay.
My sister listens, but
yeah. Frank, get a clip of that, and we'll just put that on the best of show.
Yes. No.
We'll just isolate Darren saying that.
Oh God, what have I done?
But I, you know, it was something that didn't occur to me until like towards the end of the show, kind of late. We had Ryan Reynolds there. He's cameoing. He was in the monologue, and he makes a cameo on Weekend Update. We literally had Scarlett Johansson's ex-husband.
Yeah.
One person away from Scarlett Johansson's fiance.
That is something. I mean, you put it out on our Twitter.
I put
account.
It out on Twitter after I thought of it. And I just,
didn't even. That didn't even occur to me.
And I just said, like, what do you think they talked about during the slow times at rehearsal? Do you acknowledge that? Do you talk? I mean, are they buddy buddy? Are they?
I think they're. I mean, it's been a while.
I mean,
right?
Apparently, I think Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson divorced in 2011. I think when I looked it up.
Let me look it up. But it's been a minute
because she had another husband after Ryan Reynolds. She was married to like some French guy, and she had a kid with him.
Some French dude.
It was a French dude. That's all I know about him.
Okay.
Because I know she was pregnant when they were shooting Age of Ultron. And this is the extent that I of my knowledge on this
because
I
don't.
Well, I don't keep up with the celebrity gossip that much, so I
hot
don't.
Goss.
I don't really follow the ins and outs of everybody.
All right, so she was married to Ryan Reynolds in 2008. They divorced in 2011.
Okay,
she married
so
a
that's
guy
8 years ago. That's a long time.
She married a dude Romain Doriac.
Okay,
in 2014 they divorced in 2017, and then now she's engaged to Jost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
and
so,
she's like in her 30s somewhere, right?
35.
Okay, that's
yeah.
So. It's just weird to think that she's soon going to have her third husband, and
it happens.
It happens. I mean, no criticism. It's just it's like oh yeah, wow. Well, it's yeah, not until you think about it, it's like oh wow.
35. It's pretty. I don't know. The heart wants what it wants. We're not here to divorce shame.
No, not at all. I mean, it's just. It's just like, oh, that's interesting. It's not until I think about it that I'm like, oh yeah, she has been married
I totally forgot about it
a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because he wasn't like, I don't think he was somebody who was famous in his own right.
He wasn't high profile. He was.
Yeah, it's not a.
He was no Deadpool.
He was no Deadpool. He's not on a sketch comedy show every single week. So
right.
Who knows? But it's just like I don't know who.
But yeah, you put that out there, and then people were like, oh yeah, that's right, she. ScarJo and him were married, and ScarJo is going to be a host in a couple of weeks.
And one of our fans pointed out to us that like Us Weekly posted about it too. They had a thing about it, but my tweet went up first,
so we get the credit for that.
That we did.
Yeah,
we
did. Us Weekly, give us the credit we richly deserve.
Exactly.
I mean, the work for you.
We see you, Us Weekly.
We see you. That's right.
We see you.
We will be watching you.
Let's see. We had. My other notes are really just quick things on some of the topics that they did.
The M&M's thing?
The M&M's thing, because apparently there was a vegan M&M, because apparently M&M's have meat in them. They talked about Julia Roberts as Harriet Tubman, because there's this Harriet Tubman movie that's been in the works since the 90s, apparently. Some studio exec, who I'm assuming didn't know who Harriet Tubman was, suggested that Julia Roberts could play her.
Yeah, that's not. Let's not do that.
We should not do that. Absolutely not a good casting choice. But tell me, you wouldn't see that movie?
I probably would.
I mean, just for the train wreck factor, you would see that movie.
I would peek in and then be like, "Ew!" And then like maybe leave on my way to watch.
Something
better.
Obviously, if you're doing a movie about Harriet Tubman, Scarlett Johansson is the clear first choice.
Yeah, that's what we're all thinking.
That's
she could play all races. She's.
We're never going to have Colin or Scarlett on this podcast.
Oh man,
I'm just burning those bridges.
Oh, sorry.
Left and right.
Sorry, Frank. We're trying. All right, and also it seemed kind of short too. This weekend update.
Seemed kind of short. Weekend update. It always seems short when they only have like one correspondent come on.
That's true.
Because it seems the formula of it that they have two people come on, and
it seemed pretty short.
Yeah.
So next up, Cinema Classics.
With The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, and this is like the first sketch Keenan's in, actually. I didn't realize it. It's like, oh yeah, we haven't seen Keenan.
I guess so, yeah. He was doing his character Maurice DeWatt. where he makes more of a meal out of the intro than I think he needs to, but that's just
Damn. Jost and Thompson. They're both catching these
hands. With things like this, I want to see them cut to the chase, you know, because the point of the sketch is not the guy doing the intro. You're just setting it up, but... You know,
yeah, I hear you.
We got to give Keenan his bit, but
yes, Keenan needs his bit.
In my mind, that was unnecessary.
But yeah, so the movie that they talk about in Cinema Classics was The Wizard of Oz, where they show an alternate ending,
right?
And then the alternate ending is they show like Kate McKinnon is in bed at Dorothy waking up from the dream of Wizard of Oz, saying, "Oh, I had a weird dream, and you were there, and you were there."
Yeah,
and she points to all the people in her life, saying that they were there. And then they have...
And let me just say that they needed a Burt Lahr. They should have called our friend Joe Carney.
Oh.
He does a killer Burt Lahr, killer...
Oh, shout out to Joe Carney.
A killer Cowardly Lion impression.
Put him up.
Yeah. It's classic. It's one of his go-tos, and he does a great job.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe. He's probably not hearing us, but...
Probably not.
But
yeah, and also this scene was like in sepia tone, so look, you know...
Yeah, like, it looked like the... It looked like the movie.
Yeah,
it's always fun to see.
And then, they have a few little people come up, which was, you know,
uh-huh.
Will Ferrell and a few other cast members probably walking in on their knees,
yeah.
saying, "Oh, hey, were we in your dream?
Yeah,
like, who were we?"
And then Dorothy's like, "Oh, this is awkward.
Yeah,
You were there. You were all dressed as like little kids," and then like she gestures over to the shelf, and there's like these baby dolls that are all dressed just like the Munchkins in the movie,
and they're all offended, like, "Oh my God, is that how you see us?"
Yeah,
and then they were like, "Oh, I wish that tornado had killed you."
Yeah, like, yeah, and she talked about how like some of them were in the Lollipop Guild, and they had lollipops that were bigger than their heads.
Yeah, and then, of course all the smaller people get very offended that
they're all deeply offended by this, by, like, that they're being seen in such a stereotypical fashion.
Right. And she said, "Oh, I think I saw one of you hang yourselves at some point."
Yeah, they were like, "Oh, so were we in this dream with you all the way?" And she was like, "No, I kind of pieced out to the woods with my dog, and I think one of you might have hanged yourself."
Pieced out.
I like Dorothy saying "pieced out." That's funny. And it was neat that they had the reference to the old urban myth that one of the Munchkins committed suicide on the set while they were rolling.
Yeah, I remember watching that like in high school, and like it definitely looked like like a man with.
It's one of those things that's not true at all. It's like it's like the three men and a baby. Like, "Oh, you see the boy's ghost in the window." And
I saw that too, and I was like, "Oh,
it's a cutout of Ted Danson." You're watching it on a crappy videotape. It is literally a cutout of Ted Danson in a tuxedo, and you see it clearly early in the movie.
It did freak me out when I was in... I might have been high now that I think about it. In hindsight, I probably was.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that thing with the Dark Side of the Moon and The Wizard of Oz and sync them up?
No. Have you?
I did that. I was in a bar in Brooklyn years ago.
And were you high?
No, drunk.
Okay.
But I was there, and like, it does sync up pretty well in some parts. There's like one part where, you know, the great gig in the sky where she's singing those high notes, and like, you know, like, like that high note thing she does. And like, when she hits the high note, that's when like the tornado hits. And then like, when she opens the door to Oz,
that's when money starts up.
Dude,
yeah.
Dude, it does sync up pretty well in some spots.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I will say that.
I thought this was okay. I like the premise of it. It just didn't seem to always have the laughs that it should have.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I felt like it needed a little more oomph to it. And I found myself wanting to like it more than I actually liked it, you know? And it didn't seem like the audience responded to it as strongly as it could have.
Yeah, I thought it was an okay sketch, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have used a little bit more. It wasn't quite there yet.
I like the idea of it, though. So I enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Final sketch,
10-1 land. We had Ventriloquist with Will Ferrell as a performer at the Hi Hat Lounge. He's Wally Culpepper and his little pal Chippy.
Right.
And he's doing a ventriloquist act. And the ventriloquist dummy just keeps talking about, "This man's hand is up my butt."
Right, right. Basically, it starts off saying, like, "Oh, you'd be upset too if you had a man's hand up your butt." And of course, everybody in the audience laughs. Ha 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 ha. And then he asks Chippy another question, and it's like, "Oh, what are your plans for the weekend?" It's like, "Oh, I don't have any plans. We wouldn't have any plans for the weekend if you have, would you have a man's hand up your butt?"
Yeah.
And then the audience is like, "Ha ha."
Yeah, because he's just repeated the same punchline, and then it's everything, and he's like, I spent hours hemorrhaging on the toilet.
Yeah.
And then the audience starts to turn on him, and they're like, hey, what's going on? And Will Ferrell's like, no, no, guys, he's just a ventriloquist dummy. Look, I'll just put him down. See, he's just a dummy.
Right.
Not, these are just jokes.
Right, because like, the puppet basically says, like, no, I'm not kidding. This man has his hand up my butt. You know, it is not. You are all witnessing a crime. You are all complicit. This is not consensual. And then everybody gets weirded out by it. And like Keenan and Cecily are in the audience, and Keenan's like, "Hey, get your hand out of that man puppet's butt."
And then after they accept his explanation, like he's just a dummy. Okay, let's go back to the act. Let's have some fun. Then Will Ferrell just dips his hand in this giant jar of KY jelly.
Yeah, he lubes up his hand. Because the way it looked, because like when he put the puppet down on the stool, he put it down like face down, ass
or, up. Or maybe it was Vaseline. I don't know what it was.
It was some type of lube.
So, yeah, okay.
So then it shows Will Ferrell with a handful of lube, like putting his hand right up the puppet's.
Yeah. And it's graphic.
It is graphic.
And then it just cuts away, and it turns out it's an ad for People for the Ethical Treatment of Puppets.
Yeah.
And like, they say 1 in 4 ventriloquist shows is non-consensual.
Yeah.
So if you see something, say something.
I was like, wow, that's a dark sketch.
I
don't know. What do you think?
This is the sort of weird. I was going to say weird ass stuff, but that's probably not the best choice of words. I really didn't mean it that way. This is the sort of weird stuff you expect in the getting towards the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, this felt like a Smigel sketch to me a little. It's like that dark kind of comedy.
It took a dark turn. Yeah,
it did. But
puppets getting anally violated.
Yeah. I didn't. Yeah.
That's what this was.
I can't. Am I a bad person for laughing at that? Like when he put his hand up the puppet.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that never gets easier. It's like, my name is Luis Maldonado. Somebody please call my wife.
I think it was a little funnier to think about than to actually see. Because when you see it, it's a little.
Yeah. The audience seemed a little horrified by it.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of a fun. I mean, it was.
What a fun horror.
The cringe factor was what set this apart. So.
But yeah, so it's a puppet getting anally violated.
It's a weird one to end the night with, but
it is. It is, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't laugh.
Okay.
But so maybe I'm a terrible person. I'll go to church.
Oh, I think absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll
say some Hail Marys.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
We had the good nights. Did they forget to thank Larry David at the end?
No, I think they did.
They did? Okay. Just because there were so many people, I was trying to like see, like, okay, did they forget to thank anybody at the end?
Yeah, there were so many. They could have let up on the cameras.
There had to be, like, at least 8 people.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
We had Alec Baldwin, we had Maya Rudolph, we had Fran Armisen, we had Larry David, we had
Rachel
Dratch, Ryan Reynolds.
Harrelson.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Yes, it's like 8 or so, right?
At least 8.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a whole lot.
It's a whole lot.
Could be too many.
I would say so.
I think once you get past, you know, do you ever need more than 4 cameos?
No. 4 is
No. 4 is plenty.
Yeah.
This 4 is plenty. We had at least twice that.
Yeah. Twice of 4 is 8.
Yes.
I know my math.
Yes, my math checks out.
I mean, there were so many sketches, or like these sketches ran so long that there were 3 sketches cut for time.
We went on YouTube this morning, and there were 3 things cut for time.
Yeah.
We watched all 3. Yeah. I watched all 3. You watched all 3.
I did watch all 3.
And I enjoyed them for the most part.
Yeah.
We had a sketch called Cast List, which was about these high school kids, and they're all eager to see the cast list.
Right. Like, if you're somebody who's like a drama club.
This is another one of their theater nerd.
Yeah. If you were a theater geek, I highly recommend you watch that sketch.
Yeah,
it'll hit hard for you.
They've obviously got some hardcore high school theater geeks in the cast or in the writer's room or both.
I could see that.
Most likely. Because, I mean, there was like, you know, Crucible Cast Party, the thing they did last week with, what was it, with the Gypsy musical.
Oh, right, yes.
Playing off of that. And then this.
Baby Faye, yeah. So if you're a theater geek, I'd watch that sketch on YouTube.
Yeah, if you're any kind of theater person, and Will Ferrell's like the bizarre teacher who's
the drama coach or drama teacher.
Yeah,
I think somebody put on Twitter, like, it kind of reminded him of that old Phil Hartman character, the acting teacher coach. Like, this is something, this is nothing.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Is
something, oh, okay. This is nothing. Yeah, I remember that.
I could see that.
I remember that.
So they had that sketch. Then there was the Wrangler Peekaboos for Men.
This was another fake ad with, Will Ferrell at the bar. He's sending a drink over to some nice ladies, and he's like, hey, when I'm in a mood to go flirting, I wear my Wrangler Peekaboos.
Yeah, and then is pants that show butt cleavage.
Yeah, it's got a cutout. It was like a cutout diamond shape.
Right.
And you see a good inch or two of his ass.
Yeah, it's tastefully done, though.
And then they have some other cutout shapes. There's like one in a heart. Oh. And we have Mikey Day and Bowen Yang as other guys.
Yeah. Moffitt was there showing the whale tail.
And they have one in the shape of a football.
You know, manly.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if you want to see the asses of various male SNL cast members, this is a sketch for you.
It's up there for you, for your pleasure.
It's up there on the internet, as many things like that are.
Yes. I mean,
do you think there was somebody just doing the Rule 34 thing, where if it exists, there is porn of it? I accidentally said Rule 37 last week.
And right. Sorry about that, guys.
Sorry about that. But I corrected myself in the description, so it's all good.
Yeah. Possibly. I think so.
You think there was somebody Googling for, like, you know, Will Ferrell's ass?
And then it just took them down.
And then they found that sketch by accident?
Yeah. Oh, so you think they made that sketch to catch all the Will Ferrell ass enthusiasts?
I think today maybe there are, like, some Will Ferrell ass enthusiasts. Or Mikey Day or Bowen Yang or Alex Moffat ass enthusiasts.
They all have fine asses.
Apparently so, yes. Yeah. They are all confident enough in their asses to put them on national television late at night.
Fine, sculpted, taut.
I'm not raking their asses. I'm just putting that out there right now.
From one to five.
Mikey is number one, obviously. Obviously.
Of course. Could bounce a quarter off that hinder.
But...
Now we're not going to get Mikey Day on the podcast.
What? We said he had a fine ass. That's a compliment.
People take that the wrong way.
That sounds very much like catcalling.
Yeah. It's a good thing Nonproductive doesn't have an HR department.
Yeah. We are part of the problem.
Ooh. Are we? So, that was the show.
That was the show.
Yeah.
There was another sketch. The Mexico thing.
Yeah, the guy in Mexico who's waiting for his, like, I guess, mail-order bride who he sent tons of money to.
Yeah, it was a woman he'd met in some foreign country on the internet. He sent lots of money to her.
Yeah, and then he got a call, and
she was not coming.
Yeah, it was mostly just a lot of, like, Will Ferrell just eating the scenery. Chewing it up.
Yeah. I liked when, after he realizes that his date is not coming, he walks over to the table of the couple he's talking to, which was Chris Redd and Cecily Strong. Yeah. And he's like, here, you can have this underwear. It's
this edible. Edible underwear.
Edible candy underwear. I've only worn it once.
He was like, oh.
And they were like, no, thanks. We're only here for a few days. That sketch, I was like, I looked at that and I was like, yeah, I see that. Why that was cut.
That's fine. Yeah,
I don't think that was cut, quote unquote, for time so much as.
It was just cut because it was, quote unquote, not that great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was a good call there, Lauren.
Yeah, well done. I mean, as far as this episode goes, I liked it. I definitely think it was better than the Harry Styles episode.
Yeah, I think definitely a step up from last week. I thought the middle portion of the show was real solid.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of good things. We had the teacher at the house party.
Right.
We had the first Thanksgiving sketch.
First Thanksgiving I dug.
I think that was probably sketch of the night.
I did like the ventriloquist just because of the shock. I don't know. Maybe I'm a terrible person, but like I did.
I didn't like that as much as like other stuff. I mean, I like the pizza ad more. I thought the Democratic debate sketch was pretty good.
That needed to be shortened, but it was good.
It needed to be shortened, but how do you shorten it without just leaving some people out completely?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was just because
they probably don't want to be accused of like doing any favoritism by like leaving some people out completely. So it feels like they have to service everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, some of you Democrats are just going to have to drop out just if for no other reason than to just make life in the SNL writers room a little easier.
Right. Think of those poor SNL writers. Those poor.
They are having a tough time. Assholes with podcasts are like insulting the Weekend Update anchor willy nilly.
Yeah. Those poor Harvard grads. Think of them.
Yes.
those poor lampoon writers. Make their lives a little easier.
Exactly.
Come on.
Hasn't Colin Jost suffered enough hardship? Damn it.
He's out there under the hot lights, slaving away jokes for you, just going back to his beautiful fiance.
He has to do 10 to 15 minutes on television every week.
I mean, my God.
And then go home to Scarlett Johansson. We are not making a good case for how tough his life is.
No, actually, I thought about it, and we aren't, yeah. No.
And he probably goes golfing on Sundays.
In his Izod gear.
From all the Izod endorsement money.
Yes. I don't think we're not building a great case now.
We are not.
Oh, boy.
We are not. We are digging that hole deeper.
Yipes. But yeah.
I had a point here somewhere, but as usual, got lost in all the Colin Jost hate.
Oh, well. That's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
That's this episode. And next week, it's an off week.
Off week. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
What are we going to do?
I do know.
Oh, okay.
Well,
late on me.
Well, we were thinking about what to do on the off week. We were trying to think about maybe we could do a Thanksgiving movie.
Well, we covered the Thanksgiving special last year.
Yeah.
And they are running the SNL Thanksgiving special on Wednesday, the night before. But it's probably going to be mostly the same sketches we talked about
turkey
last year.
Turkey for me and turkey for you.
We did do the Thanksgiving sketch show last year, didn't we?
I think so.
Did we or did we skip it?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to look at the archives and double check.
But
we're not doing a Thanksgiving special.
Yeah, we were thinking about doing like a Thanksgiving movie. But the only thing that's kind of close is like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And that doesn't really have an SNL connection, really.
Steve Martin, John Candy,
Michael McKean's in it for a little bit, but that's not.
We did cover the Thanksgiving special on November 25th of last year.
Go watch it, guys. It's great.
So
I mean, we don't remember it being great, but I'm sure.
But we got an hour and 18 minutes of content out of
it. God damn!
So
we ramble. But and
this is before I was writing specific episode specific descriptions, so that's just our general description that our producer Frank Ablawi wrote ages ago.
Thanks, Frank.
All right.
So we're thinking, well, we still have this the big bad Eddie Murphy episode.
Oh, that
coming
that
out.
He is hosting the show.
He
I've heard
is
about
hosting.
That.
Yes, right. Yeah,
I've heard about that.
So we
and they announced the musical guest.
Yes, Lizzo.
Lizzo.
That's actually the rare case of a new artist that I know, and I actually enjoy their music. So, I'm looking quite forward
to
it.
That's very cool. Very cool.
So,
yeah, your sister was leaning on me on Facebook. She was like,
"Oh,
you better do some research on this." And I was like, "Let me look at the photo of her. She's got a flute. I guess she plays the flute."
Oh, boy.
I'm done.
I'll take care of it, Mel. Don't worry. I'll handle the heavy lifting.
I enjoy coming to the musical guests more or less.
It's coming in
cold.
Hot. All right.
Yeah.
All right, but so we figure, well, we have the Eddie Murphy episode coming up. Let's do another Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah.
Let's do a recent Eddie Murphy movie. Let's do the Netflix hit movie, Dolomite Is My Name, that just came out last month.
It's been getting a lot of good buzz. The review's been really good. I know it's written by the same guys who did Ed Wood and the People versus Larry Flint and Big Eyes and all those like weird offbeat biographical movies.
Right. Directed by Craig Brewer, who also did Hustle and Flow. He did Black Snake Moon, and he's also working on Eddie Murphy on the Coming to America sequel.
Oh, and that's also going... Is that going to Netflix, or is that going to be a theatrical release?
That's
going to
be in the theaters. They're shooting it now. I think it'll be out next year.
Okay.
But either way, next episode, we're going to talk about Dolomite Is My Name. So.
Right. And you watched this already, right?
I did. Okay. I liked it.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Jesus. Now they're not going to listen to the episode. Oh.
But I'm coming to it cold. Right. I put it on my list. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm looking forward to checking it out. Do you think I should watch the Dolomite movie before I see this, or should I just watch it cold? Is it better to have a familiarity with the original Dolomite movie?
It wouldn't hurt. I knew a little bit about Dolomite. I mean, I just knew about Dolomite from 90s hip hop because they do name check them in a few raps and stuff.
Okay.
I've seen a few of the movies. The movies aren't very good.
Yeah.
But they're like kind of, I guess, like.
But it's one of those seminal blaxploitation movies, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like. But if you watch it, you can see the acting's not great. The acting and the action aren't good. But it's like kind of funny and entertaining in the way it's not good, like The Room or something.
Okay, yeah. See, like, that's the thing. I still haven't seen the movie they made about the making of The Room because I was like, should I watch The Room first or should I just watch this movie?
I would watch The Room first. You might have a better appreciation.
Because I do remember that when I saw Ed Wood back when that came out, I enjoyed it the more because I had seen a couple of Ed Wood movies. I'd seen Plan 9 from Outer Space and I'd seen Bride of the Monster on Mystery Science Theater.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, yeah. I would, in that case, I would watch Dolomite and then watch Dolomite as my name.
Is the original Dolomite on Netflix?
I don't think. I think it was. It was on YouTube for a while, but then okay. I think they took it off and put it behind a paywall after the Netflix thing came out. That's how they get you. No one cared till the Eddie Murphy movie came out. Now
YouTube bastards.
And now you got to pay a pretty price.
All right, I'm gonna see if I can track down Dolomite so I can get a familiarity with that. And
I mean, but
maybe.
It's not all about the movie. I mean, the Dolomite movie. It's more about Rudy Mae Moore and how he created this character Dolomite and how
right.
you know. Well, I mean, we'll go into it next week, but it's more about him as the man and then the movie.
But I'm looking forward to seeing that. That should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And yeah, that's the episode.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get hyped for the Eddie Murphy episode.
Yeah.
So and we should mention before we wrap up SNL, they announced a few more hosts. They've announced all their hosts for December.
Yes, December 7th, we got Jennifer Lopez and musical guest DaBaby.
Okay.
Did you think it was pronounced DaBaby when you first saw the name? Or?
No, I didn't really think about it, but if I would have taken a guess, I would have said DaBaby.
Oh, wow. Well, so,
is it all spelled as one word?
Yeah, it's like all crumped together. It's like it looks like DaBaby.
Okay.
I thought that was funny. Oh. And that's just me. And then...
Then Scarlett Johansson on December 14th.
ScarJo and...
Who was her musical guest? It was...
Neela... Jovovich? No.
Mila Jovovich.
Not Mila Jovovich.
She's going to come on and do The Gentleman Who Fell.
Yeah, no, it was... Hold on. You can. Oh, Niall Horan.
Okay.
Who was in One Direction.
Oh, another One Direction person.
Another One Direction person.
An old friend of Harry Styles.
Yeah, and I've heard his music. He kind of sounds like a bluesy pop rock type of thing. He kind of sings like the guy from Arctic Monkeys.
Are all the One Direction people solo now?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so they broke up.
Yes.
It's not just Harry Styles left the group and the others were going on without him.
I believe they've all broken. They've broken
up.
They're all doing their
own
thing.
They're all solo. They're all... Yeah. So, well, he must be doing pretty well if he's gotten on SNL.
I guess so. Yeah.
So,
and, of course, 21st, Eddie Murphy and Lizzo, which I'm looking forward to.
That'll be
much.
Fun. I mean, that's the one that everyone's looking to.
That's the big one.
So.
And, that's the episode. I mean, we tweeted out that we were going to do this... Record by this episode, and it seems like a lot of people didn't like this Will Ferrell episode for some reason. People
that surprises me because I thought it was pretty good overall.
Yeah, like a lot of Steve Harrell, joint partners, episode was terrible. That Week in SNL, miserable episode. Rye Magaro thought it was a pretty good episode. And I was like, interesting. Well, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're all just wrong, and we are correct.
That's what my money's on, but Ryan McGarry says I thought the episode was pretty good. Any episode featuring Maya Rudolph is a win in my book.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah, I mean Maya was great in the episode. Let's see, we asked for some reactions. I tweeted about the Ryan Reynolds Colin Jost thing. Let's see, Joe Stafford after I tweeted about it being. Scarlett's ex-husband and current fiance, Joe Stafford said, "Wow, I totally didn't think of that. Ouch."
Yeah.
Neil Navani says, "It's like when I sat next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst."
Oh.
Eminem
reference. I like that.
That's, yeah, I don't know if I totally understand that. But,
that's a reference to the song, Sitting Next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst, about who I give head to. It was the lyric from...
From an Eminem song.
Yeah,
okay.
Without Me.
Oh, okay.
It's back when Eminem was dissing
right.
Britney Spears. Sit me here next to Britney Spears.
Oh, okay.
Christina Aguilera, I bet it. Switch me chairs.
Oh, okay.
Don't you know your Eminem verses off the top of the dome, homie?
No, because they're so fast, I can't keep up. I mean, just... I mean,
all right. you got exhausted just saying that sentence.
I did.
I would, yeah. Oh,
okay. I can't keep up with you. Okay.
So
with
many words.
All right, rap music, but
so that's the episode. Anything you want to plug or promote or anything?
I can't think of anything at the moment.
You were right, man.
No, I'm just exhausted thinking about this. Was that Without Me lyric? Was that about Christina Aguilera or was that about Britney Spears?
Because
now I'm confused.
I think that was about Christina Aguilera because she
hooked up with both.
I think that's back
both in the, of those guys.
Yeah,
supposedly?
She hooked up with Fred Durst and Carson Daly.
Okay,
and then Carson Daly was in the video, which is everybody.
Because I know Fred
Durst was in the video. Carson Daly.
Didn't Fred Durst say that he'd hooked up with Britney Spears at some point, and then she was denying that?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, remember that when people cared about Fred Durst? It's a crazy time.
That seems like a million years ago,
right?
Doesn't it?
Fuck it. Limp Bizkit was a huge band.
But that is going back like 20 years now.
It is. It's like early aughts. But like, you think, like, yeah, they were a big deal for a while.
But then it was like somebody hit a switch and there's just like everyone was like, okay, we're done with Limp Bizkit now.
Yeah, like we all agreed, like, yeah, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
We need to leave Limp Bizkit.
We all do foolish things in the early aughts.
It's like everybody's just handing in their red baseball caps. Yeah. Crazy time. Crazy time. Anywho, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible, and check out my website, DarrenCredible.com.
And you can follow me on the Twitter at Trumbull Comic, and apparently you can also try and hack into my Instagram. I'm also at Trumbull Comic there. So
yeah, give it a shot.
Give it a shot, and I'll probably just get fed up and end up deleting the thing altogether.
let's do that.
So let's do that.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Go over to non-productive.com. Yes. Contribute to our Patreon. Give us some more reviews on the social media,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Share us around. Yeah, we haven't gotten a review since October, so...
What the frack?
We need some more feedback. We need some more...
Yes, give us some love.
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah, or hate. That's fine. We can take it. We're grown-ups.
If that's how you feel, that's fine. You can throw that at us. We can take it.
Right.
But we prefer the love. We're about the love.
Yes. Where is the love you said you give to me? Let it definitely. Remember that song?
I do.
Where is the love? Hey.
Again, you're bursting into song at the very end of the
episode.
I'm
sorry. No, I'm done.
Where we put music over the very end.
I'm done. I'm going
to
shut up now.
So we have to vamp for a little bit so
no,
the
we don't.
Two
we
don't overlap.
It. We just ended on that. I'm done. I'm not going to talk. I'm going to put my
head
away.
Okay. Are we going to finish up now?
Yes.
Okay. So until next week, when we do Dolomite Is My Name. Until then,
nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.